Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Happy weekend. Frank Rush here along with you. It's good to have you along as we have another edition of Focus on Community. And today we're going to focus what everybody's talking about, which is the pandemic and the COVID-19 pandemic and something kind of interesting and special that's going on here in the Wabash Valley. Richard Payunk's Executive Director of United Way with the Wabash Valley. Richard, it's good to have you on today.
Well, thank you so much for having us and for spreading the word of the work we're doing.
You guys are doing something along with, it's not just you, you've actually teamed with the Wabash Valley Community Foundation for the Wabash Valley COVID-19 Emergency Relief Fund, right?
That is correct, Frank. We reached out very shortly after the schools closed in mid-March. Our board looked at what was facing us and realized so many relief efforts between food, shelter, financial relief would be necessary that we immediately reached out to me, one of the best brands and charitable work here in the Valley besides ourselves, which is the Community Foundation. And it was great that Beth Tevlin over there, their executive director, met with me, and their board was equally interested to start seed funding and growing a relief fund here in the Valley.
And so far, you guys have benefited what? I'm just guessing at a number here from what I've seen as far as the press releases, at least probably 20 different organizations and probably, well over several tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars so far.
So, yes, the community responded great. Both of our organizations put a challenge grant. We had a number of corporations locally, as well as individual philanthropists, matched that, and we quickly raised over $300,000 in funds for this. We started doing what we would call a kind of a rapid release grant, a very simple application that nonprofits who are benefiting families and individuals most affected, whether it's food, financial assistance, mortgage assistance, those types of programs. And Frank, the number, we do this weekly, so we have put grants out every week, 5 to 7 or 8 to different nonprofits. Believe it or not, the number is actually over 60 organizations, and just last week we have now funded over $400,000 worth of these small relief grants in the community.
And with that, you've obviously affected hundreds or if not more individuals throughout the Wabash Valley too.
Right. And the most important thing, anytime any of us do something charitably and want to contribute, we want to know we're affecting those most in need. What has warmed my heart about these is we also started every Friday just kind of having a listening session with all of the many service providers to make sure we're not just overlapping with the same groups, to make sure we're not duplicating our services, but to really listen to what needs are each of you seeing, whether you run a shelter home like Council on Domestic Abuse, or whether you're doing food pantry services like Catholic Charities does in town, or the many church soup kitchens. And the outpouring of how much the need was remarkable. So it helped our steering team who's kind of guiding these grants really understand where the best impact could be made.
You talk about, finding where the need is. What has been the need? Because all these different groups that you've talked about, they're all helping people, but they're all doing it in various different ways. What's the biggest need that you've run across here in the Valley? Has it been food? Has it been, housing for those that have been unemployed? What's the biggest need?
So I would sum that up in three particular top three that I would say. Food is absolutely in the top three. One of the things, Frank, when we've talked before, our whole mission as a United Way is to try to help struggling working families, that there are a tremendous number of people who earn wages, go to work every day, and don't make enough to get by. I like to share with people that before the pandemic was here, almost 44% of the households in our 6-county area live that way. Now imagine losing your job on top of that, what that number grew to. So I think people have been kind of shocked at how high the numbers of the schools providing lunches, food pantries providing lunches. But when you do the math, there are literally tens of thousands of families who were living paycheck to paycheck and lost their paycheck. Food is one of the top things in trying to keep your family fed. One of the next is just what you said, just kind of that financial stability, the finances, with the loss of jobs, being able to, I like to tell people the state did the right thing by suspending evictions and delaying taxes, and utilities have stopped shutoffs, which is all good, but eventually all of those entities will need to be paid, and the missing segment is the wages don't come back that you've lost. So there's going to be tremendous financial need for these folks who did have jobs, were working. So it's heart-wrenching to see, and at the same time, a little heartwarming to see how many agencies are trying to help that. If I could, Frank, a third one that we're seeing a lack of is just in behavioral health and the stress that this puts on people. Not just those who are financially strained, but our first responders who are on the front lines doing this, the families who quarantine is difficult for them. The amount of stress and behavioral health issues is something else we're looking to address long term.
One of the things about the United Way is obviously you guys are just like anybody else. We're all the same. We all use cash to get done what we need to get done. And obviously with all the money you're handing out, you're burning through the cash pretty quick. But a lot of your contributors are some of these businesses and individuals that in this pandemic, they're having the same kind of problems as everybody else is. How dangerous is it for you to run out of cash?
Yeah, it's a very tough thing. Now, we've been fortunate in a couple of places that we're not in that danger. But yeah, it's difficult to go ask a business who had to close their doors to help contribute to other businesses and families. We like to think of ourselves as helping all of the employees of all of our businesses, everyone who lives in the community, by lifting it up. But the bottom line is, there is a shortfall of that, and many nonprofits are concerned with the loss of their main revenue, which is donations. Another way to think of that, Frank, is think of the number of events, fundraising events that had to be canceled over the last few months that are main revenue sources for some of our best nonprofits and the work they do. So I believe that is why, and I'd love to just be able to tell your audience that we were able to apply through the Indiana United Ways, our state association, and the Lilly Endowment for a grant that provided up to $1 million of additional economic emergency relief funding. And I think we're so lucky to be in the state of Indiana where the Lilly Endowment exists because they understand exactly what you just said, exactly how difficult this will be. So they've come through for a lot of United Ways across the state, and we are in turn turning that back over and into the community.
You guys actually have the middleman, the groups that are out there on the front lines helping individuals. How do you quantify or qualify them for funding through this grant program? What do they have to meet? What do they have to do in order to be in your good graces and get a check?
Exactly. So United Way has always kind of been that convener to bring people together on common issues and then fund those issues. And in this particular case, it goes through agencies. And what I've always been drawn to the organization long before I worked for them was because they really vet out the organizations. They make sure that anyone who is receiving funds for them as a nonprofit, has a board of directors, has someone overseeing finances, has budgetary and financial guidelines in place. So kind of making sure the organizations aren't what most of us might call a fly-by-night or just got started up or don't really have someone overseeing. We need to be sure for all of the people who invest with us and the donors that we're investing the funds where they need to be and with organizations that are. So it's a challenge to keep an application simple and quick to get the funding where it's needed, but we tend to work with partners who understand all the necessities of being sound investors of donated resources.
You and I talked, it's been several months ago now, but I know you mentioned one of the things that was important for you was to make sure that when you and your organization helps out another group or organization, that they are accountable. How are you making sure that the groups that you're helping out now are accountable and are actually doing what they say they'll do to help the people that you know need help?
So two things, Frank, that I think are important, that our accountability for the groups doing the work, but also our own accountability to show people where we are investing and how we are investing. So our website has a list of every grant that we have done. All of the 60-plus organizations, you can go to the website to our COVID relief fund. You can see everyone who's contributed. You can see the amount. You can see what we've done. Very transparent. We said up front between our board as well as the community foundation, we want the community to know where the need is, where we're funding. As far as the organizations and their accountability, we ask each of them, even though it's a simple application for just $5,000, that by the end of this period, be it September, October, each will have to provide us a report accounting for how the funds were used and where it was. Nothing too overwhelming, but enough to have the accountability of here is how we invested those funds, here is the groups or numbers who were benefited. So mostly just kind of account that I would hope by the end of the year we could count up and see how many really were affected by all this. The generosity of our community really does come through each of these if they report back to us.
You mentioned earlier, of course, you guys are working as a team with the Wabash Valley Community Foundation. Beth Tevlin over there, kind of the head of the operation. How's it been working with them? Because normally United Way you guys kind of run your own show, but you're actually doing this in conjunction with the foundation now. So how's that been working out?
Yeah, just it's fantastic. And really, it's a further step of the transition we've been trying to make over the last few years. I think so many people know of the United Way and just the way you describe them, kind of do their own thing, raise their funds, be the middleman. And we're working so hard to be more collaborative, not just with other charities. We're working with the mayors. We're working with the cities. We're working with the Chamber of Commerce saying, what are the common issues? What are the things we need to be investing in? And so it was so natural to go to the Community Foundation, who was also looking at COVID relief funds, and say, why don't we do this together? Why don't we show the community how working together can be great? So I have loved it. Beth is a terrific person to work with, cares so much about our community. So to me, it's just like working in one entity that's all working together. So it's been unique, not just working with her, but our volunteers working with Community Foundation volunteers.
Yeah, and Beth's been over there for a while, so she's no stranger to the Wabash Valley, that's for sure. So, has there been a surprise from when you started doing this to where we're at now? Is there something that was unexpected that you went, wow, I didn't expect to see this when we started on this project?
I think I am surprised, heartwarmingly surprised, not surprised in a bad way, at how many nonprofit organizations throughout our six counties. So I'm including, Vermilion and Vigo and Sullivan and Clay and even Park County. How many organizations are out there trying to do good? You know, today is the perfect example to think about that. All the things we've been seeing in the news for the last 4 days tend to push us toward the evil and bad things. And when you get a chance to see these applications coming in from church groups, from food pantries, all just desperately wanting to help other people. I've been working nonprofit here for the last 4 years, and I've been a United Way volunteer for 20 years before that. But to just see so many of them you don't normally work with come out and say, we want to help. It's the best. I tell people all the time, there is so much more good out there in the world than what you're seeing on the news. And we're lucky enough to get to see it every day.
So what is it you guys need now to keep going into the future? I mean, obviously, the first thing, write me a check. but what else do you need to help keep doing the work that you're doing?
So one of the most important things for our United Way, yeah, of course, the check is great, and resources do drive this kind of work. This has been a unique experience for us because when we created this fund with the Community Foundation, we said we will take 0% administration. Every dollar that has gone into that fund is going out into these agencies doing the work. So that is the kind of strain you said that it puts on an organization and their staff to take on the extra burden of the fund without any funding for the staff and the internal operations. But that's not really the key. The key to us long-term in United Way are the volunteers who want to serve. And by serve, we have multiple what we call impact councils who are passionate people who want to make a difference in early childhood education or in financial management skills for those who are economically challenged or perhaps youth success for kids in junior high and high school. We want more of the public involved in our work in a really direct way. So I constantly encourage people to get online, look at our website, see the kind of work we're doing, and shoot us an email and say, I'd like to sit on that council and help guide your work.
Honestly, I've seen
that's
the
one of some of the best things we can get.
I've seen your website, and it's I'm not going to say it was done within the past week or two, but it's been revamped here not too long ago, and it's really a nice looking website, and it's pretty easy to navigate and find the answers to different questions that you may have. For folks who don't know, where do they go? Where is the website? I mean, we can obviously Google it, but
so you can, but it's about the easiest letters you can get for United Way of the Wabash Valley. It's just UWWV. .org.
And that's a place where folks can not only read up on you, but they can also find contact information about anything, whether they're an organization
or
they're just
individuals.
See
how we do the work, what we're trying to do, our large, bold goals, our impact councils. It's a great place to see. I tell people because there's an organization that truly, truly wants a better future for our community, and we want to bring all of the organizations who want that together to work together on it.
The Wabash Valley COVID.
That's been kind of nice about the COVID fund to see it all coming together.
The COVID-19 relief fund. I know this is going to be an impossible question, but how long is this going to be up in an operation? Do you guys have some kind of time frame on when you finally say we've done what we can do here? Now we're going to move on to the next event.
So we actually do, and I'm glad you asked that, Frank, because these short-term, smaller grants. We have been announcing through our social media and the public that there are still funds available. We would encourage folks to go and see the application guidelines and submit for those. I expect those will go on for the next few months. We're about to begin a process for some midterm larger grants using the Lilly Endowment funds that will cover the next 3 to 6 months. And our board and even with the Community Foundation, we're considering a larger, longer term. We don't know what it would be, but we're convinced we don't know what things will look like a year from now. So we're kind of holding a few funds in reserve to see what the major needs will be next spring. So we think for the funding of it, it'll go on for another year or two.
And that's for folks who maybe think that they could benefit from some help from you. But also, if folks want to help you and write you a check, they can do that as well, right?
They absolutely can. And it is appreciated, and we assure everyone it goes to the very best of work guided by the community.
Richard Payunks, the Executive Director of the Wabash Valley United Way. It's the Wabash Valley COVID-19 Relief Fund in conjunction with the Wabash Valley Community Foundation. It was good to have you on today. We appreciate that. And if folks want to find out more, again, just head to the United Way of the Wabash Valley's website. That's what we've got for you this week. By the way, if you missed part of the show, want to hear a little bit of it back, we've got this as a podcast posted for you right now on our website, and we'll see you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.